Miss an interview? Listen to it now at 1043thefan.com. Brought to you by First Bank. You work hard for your business. So should your bank. Talk to a First Bank business specialist today. First Bank. Business banking for good. Member FDIC.
It's a Bud Light Football Friday. Bud Light, official beer of the Denver Broncos. Here's the drive.
1043thefan.com. Cecil Lammy is on. He's got his game plan. And you can find it at 1043thefan.com. And I don't know if it's the biggest deal in the world, but we do know, Cecil, Cameron Wake is not playing for the Titans. Maybe you can start there.
Yeah, and I think that is a big deal because you have a Titans team that gets after the passer. You know, they're regularly known to create that pressure. Wake, you know, still one of the best edge players there. So it's something that, you know, kind of falls in the favor of the Denver Broncos and what's going to be, I think, a very defensive, heavy, slugfest, tough, physical game that's going to come down to a player, too, probably from the tight end. So hopefully we get to see a big day from Noah Fant this week.
Cecil, they're down three outside linebackers. What does that mean for the game plan?
Yeah, what it means for the game plan is that you're better, if you're the Denver Broncos, use the tight end. Actually, I think both sides, Tyler, comes down to the tight end in this one because it's been a while since the Broncos have faced a tight end that was of note. You know, no offense to James O'Shaughnessy or anything like that, or, you know, our man Virgil Green there, but when you look at what the Titans bring to the table, it's not one, it's two. They've got two really quality players, Delanie Walker, who I think he runs post corner routes, you know, and there's a veteran aging tight end that can still get open on these deeper type of plays. And Marcus Mariota is known to find him after three games. Delanie Walker was setting the world on fire, only a couple of catches over the last two games, but he did participate fully in practice on Thursday and Friday. So a big week from Walker. Watch out for Jonnu Smith, his backup, who's very capable, kind of Walker clone, actually, in my opinion. And then on the flip side, if you are the Denver Broncos, utilize Noah Fant. The Titans defense has allowed four touchdowns to tight ends out of five games, and the one game that they did not get a touchdown and give up a touchdown to a tight end was a 130-yard performance by Austin Hooper. So if you're the Denver Broncos, utilize your rookie tight end because he can give you mismatches and make plays.
Cecil, finish this statement for me. The Broncos win on Sunday if they do what?
Take care of the football. You know, one of the things that I look at when I'm comparing these quarterbacks, you know, Joe Flacco, we know with that big arm, I'd like to see some more vertical plays and attack those seams with those tight ends, but he's got to take care of the football. It's become a problem. Joe Flacco isn't the problem, right? Joe Flacco is playing fine. I don't care if it was a season low in passing yards last week against the Chargers. He must take care of the football because on the flip side, Mariota, and listen, this guy's about ready to get replaced by Ryan Tannehill. That tells you what you need to know about Marcus Mariota, but he doesn't throw the ball away. He'll take a sack, right, like he did last week against Buffalo. What, they sack him like five times? And that's a team with Jerry Hughes and company. They can get after the QB. But Mariota doesn't make mistakes. So if you're on the flip side in a tough defensive battle where both ground games are going to be physical, you know, both tight ends should make plays on both sides of the ball, your quarterback cannot cost you the game with an untimely interception or, a fumble where he's trying to look downfield. Flacco needs to take care of the ball in this one for the Broncos to win a close one.
The only player on the Broncos who's ruled out is Bryce Callahan. Juwan James is labeled as questionable. Where are we with Juwan James?
Yeah, honestly, on a short week, I wouldn't mind seeing him just get another little bit of rest here and then play against Kansas City, right? And when you look at Tennessee, even though they're down Cameron Wake, they still can get after the quarterback. And that's one thing where, again, that costly turnover, it can't happen, you know? And with Eli Wilkinson there, he's been doing a fine job, admirable job up front. I'd say keep it in line because you have that short week. I would not want to push James back, have him get hurt, and then he misses Kansas City. And then maybe even misses more time because we know even during his time in Miami, the guy got banged up quite a bit. So, you know, maybe giving him another week of rest isn't a bad thing for the Broncos, in my opinion.
Our prediction will come up right before 5 o'clock. But where are you at, Cecil? What's your prediction?
17-13, the Broncos win. But again, very tough, very physical. Crowd's going to make all the difference. I think the Broncos get two wins in a row now.
Check out Cecil's game plan at 1043thefan.com. Cecil will be on the air later tonight after 7 o'clock. We appreciate it, Cecil. Yeah, the game is setting up more and more as a low-scoring, pounded-out sort of affair. you know, so maybe they'll put up 35 points. Who knows? But you know, to me, we're feeling the same thing as we talk to people with the Titans and we look at what the Broncos are doing. It's going to be a battle. It's going to be that kind of grimy sort of game, right?
Well, both teams are run first teams, especially the Titans. They want it to be smash mouth football. They come out, they want to just be 9-on-7 period. That's what they prefer would be. They do not want to rely on Marcus Mariota throwing the football. And so they're going to run a lot of clock off, and inevitably that leads towards a low scoring game. And then defensively for the Titans, they're so dang good that their rush attack, their rush defense, we're going to have a good game. And our guy, Andy Jano, got to go out there and earn that money now, because we're going to need you, because both teams are going to be running the football. And I expect that Jano will be on the field for around 20 snaps again.
Well, when I look at this matchup really closely, and you're right, Tyler, it could be a 9-on-7 type of game. And the Titans want to keep it close. And that's kind of the same philosophy as the Denver Broncos. But one thing we know, Derrick Henry, he can grind it out. He can get in that four-minute offense. And if the Titans are able to get out to an early lead, that favors them. Now they can slow the game down. Now they can grind out the clock. They can keep Joe Flacco, Cortland Sutton, and that offense, you know, on the sideline. And then kind of make it a close game and kick the field goal. And hopefully it doesn't come down to Cody Parkey kicking the game-winning field goal. But they definitely want to.
I hope it does come down to him. That would be awesome.
Let's put the game on the new kicker.
Are you kidding me?
No, that means the game is too close and too tight.
The game's going to be close.
Yeah,
I think the kicking could be the key to this entire thing.
That's like half the story. Like, this is such a rare game in which the kicker is a huge part of the storyline. This is it. You know, Cairo Santos was their kicker last week. He missed four kicks. Got himself cut. They bring in a new guy, and Parkey, you know, he's having flashbacks to his season last year. Confidence is not high. I hope they're kicking field goals the whole game. Look, he might come out and just hit five straight, but I hope we're putting the ball on him.
I got to admit, I do feel, even though I was going nuts on Twitter about Tom McMahon, these special team coaches, I mean, dude, I do feel for you. I mean, and McMahon was having a hard time sleeping.
I still haven't slept. You know, at the end of the day, that's on us. You can't give up points. And it brought him back in the game. That's the big thing. It gives him momentum, and our defense went out and shut him down. But, you know, we gave up a punt return touchdown, then we missed a field goal. So you get the ball on the 44-yard line. And, you know, that's where 10 points came from. So that's all on special teams, and we got to own it. We got to do a better job of leveraging the ball to the sidelines. It starts with the hang time. Give us hang. Great punt out to the edge. But we got to make sure now that we use this 12th man. We let a ball come right back inside of us on a returner the year before that scored three touchdowns up the middle. We know you got to force him to the sideline. There's no excuse. Zero. We got to leverage. We got to play better. And that's something we fixed this week.
I do love the way that he talks about it.
I do too.
There is no defensive nature in anything that he says. It is all accountability, and it's calling players out. Special teams coaches are so funny, man. Every single one of them that I've ever been around.
They must be a wreck.
They are a wreck. But if you can pick one coach on any NFL team, it is like a guarantee. Like, if you want one coach to go get a cold pop with at night and, like, just have a great time, and he's going to be like the man's man, you know, like, he's just going to be the tough dude telling old war stories, you want the special teams coach.
That's the guy, huh?
They're cutting through all the BS, man. They cut through all of it.
You know how tough that job is?
Impossible.
I mean, I know it's very tough to be a play caller on offense and defense, but when you look at special teams, you're in control of, like, you know, three teams. Kickoff, punt return, you're on the punt team, field goal block.
You know, after watching so many NFL practices for more than 25 years, in terms of just one element of special teams, the whole, like, your feet are at the 10-yard line, don't go backwards, right?
Right.
I swear to God, if I was a special teams coach, I would get one of those police, you know, tape things, and I would literally practice that. I would have one, like, assistant hold it on one side of the 10 and another, and I would just hold it. Yep. I said, dude, if you cannot, like, you physically cannot go through this unless you're going to break the tape.
Mm-hmm.
And I would do that over and over. I'm sort of
That's
joking
not a
here.
Terrible idea.
I'm sort of joking here, but, like, really physically make them feel that. Also, I tell you what I would do as a special teams coach. I would give thorough exams every single week, like,
yes,
written exams about the same basic special teams rules so they would know the ball is down, the other player could pick it up and run. Or they would know if I'm out of bounds and I pick the ball up, it goes at the 40-yard line. I mean, I really seriously would do all these things.
Well, when I play here, real quick story, Ronnie Bradford, who is a CU Buff, was our special teams coach. And we used to actually do that every Saturday. He would give you a test on Friday, and when you come in, you know, he would call on you to ask certain questions. Mm. Okay, well, who's R5 on the kickoff team? You know, what's his height, weight, speed? Where'd he go to college? What's his best move? So if you didn't know that, that would make it really difficult for you playing or being in the lineup next week.
Listen, there is a curious relationship, by the way, with Jano and Philip Lindsay that is curious. We'll get to that. Plus, how does the signing of Jano impact Joe Flacco? Details next with Football at 4.
You work hard for your business. So should we. That's why First Bank offers commercial real estate loans, business lines of credit, and online cash management solutions. With tools and services designed to make your business run easier, your day could have less this and more this. Visit eFirstBank.com/business to learn more. First Bank, business banking for good. Member FDIC.
First Bank. Banking for good.